Are you ready?
Yeah.
Okay, let's do it.
Bill Martinez Live, a program about current events, our culture, our values, our politics, and our future. And now, Bill Martinez.
You better stop me. What's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. Stop.
Hey, we're back with you, America. 6 minutes after the top of the hour day, top of the hour, I should say, and I started to talk about International Women's Day, which we're commemorating, and how are you doing? You know, as some are out there, they want to celebrate the day by being, by not participating, I guess, because we're supposed to appreciate, you know, women by not having them around. I had somebody tweet me, go, hey, well, traffic is light. I don't know, you know, kind of thing. But as we were talking with Jennifer Burke earlier, you know, some of this stuff, when it gets so much self-interested, you kind of miss the point here. What International Women's Day, I think of International Women's Day, I think of these poor women in these other countries and what they're subjected to. I mean, you know, and as I told Jennifer, you know, what the women here in America are enduring is a hangnail compared to what they're subjected to. To me, International Women's Day, I think of them. I don't think about, you know, certainly we have issues here in this country, and I don't mean to sound chauvinistic, but sometimes it can, you know, we kind of lose the point of what it's all about. Kind of like immigration and this latest executive order. This is why we need to bring somebody with some sobriety and reason and certainly a lot of knowledge on this topic. Bruce Thatcher is with us, author of the Breakthrough book. It is one of my favorite books on immigration. It is a must for your library. If you don't have it, shame on you, because you need to. It's an excellent book, Immigration, How to Avoid Its Perils and Make It Work. I always love, you know, when you look back at history and what Bruce has done, he has captured historical evidence and facts of what people have done, what nations have done traditionally with immigration, how it's run its course, the mistakes that they've made. You know, it's all about history. He's the founder of History Speaks today. So, it's a project dedicated to sharing lessons learned from history to help us avoid making the same mistakes. And it's in that same spirit that he gives us Immigration, How to Avoid Its Perils and Make It Work. Bruce Thatcher, always good to have you with us. How are you doing, sir?
I'm doing just fine, Bill, and it's great to be with you.
Well, let's talk about the president's latest executive order. We went from 7 countries to 6 because somehow it seemed to be a problem for some people that Iraq was noted there. But, you know, these 7 countries that were noted with reason, even with the Obama administration, were failing or failed countries. And by failing and failed, I want you to explain to our audience, Bruce Thatcher, what that means when it comes to visas and information sharing so that when somebody comes in the country, we know who they are, right?
That's right. And before somebody comes to the country, they're supposed to be issued a visa based upon some sort of what Trump calls vetting, but examination of the background to show that they are, one, who they say they are, and two, they're coming here for the reason they say they're coming here, and three, that they're somebody that we want, that we truly want to have come into our country. And in these countries and others, but in particular in these countries, the internal infrastructure and systems have broken down to the point where we can't, they can't, and we can't presumably do a good job of this vetting process. So this order is it's a temporary order. It's a 90-day order. It was in the first place. It was temporary to give us time to put in place mechanisms for more properly knowing and examining these people before they come here. Based upon some pretty trivial things, people who oppose almost anything that Trump does, but people who oppose what he does in immigration found a judge who would say for them, all right, you're probably right. There's something wrong with it, and so they issued an injunction and halted it. Now we have a new order. It's been tweaked. Some of the specific problems have been taken out of it. Iraq is now no longer part of it, presumably letting in some of the folks who have actually supported us in the past and need to get out of Iraq and come here. But already, on the news this morning, Hawaii is about to seek an injunction to try to stop that order. I think this whole thing on this particular executive order is kind of just one little I don't want to call it a sideshow, but one little element in Trump's overall immigration plan. And if we want to understand what's going on, really we need to go back to his speech of last year when he was a candidate. He gave a 10-point speech on immigration, and we're looking at lots of things he's doing on lots of points, but I took another look at it, and I think maybe we ought to look harder, or maybe look first at his point number 10, in which he said we're going to reform legal immigration to serve the best interests of America and its workers. And everything he's doing now seems like it might be part of that process, the negotiation, the bottom line of his immigration deal. It's kind of like he's saying, okay, one of the things I'm going to do is I'm going to enforce the laws, and that'll maybe make you want to change them.
Well, I don't know. Yeah, I mean, that could be the other side of the coin, no doubt about it. And I understand when somebody says reform, you know, like Barack Obama, you know, everybody was yelling, cheering and starting big parades behind him and everything. And I'm going, reform what? And nobody asked about reform what? And then they get into it and they go, well, this isn't the reformation I was thinking of, you know?
That's right. That's right. Yeah.
So yes, I understand why that probably, caused your head to spin a little bit. And I, like you, because I'm not sure what his vision in terms of immigration is other than, hey, let's enforce what we have in place right now. You know, let's get the wall in place. Let's let ICE do their job. And then if there needs to be some modification, well, you know, let the people speak up and let's see what we do. But right now we know that open borders and all the chaos and the dysfunctional immigration plan that we have right now, where you got people coming back into this country who have been deported. They're convicted of felonies. They're sent back home. And then they come back, you know. I think they're part kangaroo or part Australian or something. They boomerang right back into the country, you know, to do more damage. And it's like, this is ridiculous. We cannot have this anymore. And certainly one of the key issues for the voters in November was, we want a president who understands national security. And this is what this president is trying to put into place. And you can see how many other people, you know, for the sake of just the, you know, the word not being exactly stated, you know, in just the perfect legalese sort of way, you know, they want to take exception for it. You know, it's like, well, wait a minute. Can we err on the side of, you know, national security for a change? Would that be possible?
Well, and this particular executive order, in fact, in my view, is much more an order dealing with national security than it is dealing with immigration. The immigration impact of it is almost insignificant. It's a security. That is a security issue, which happens to involve some immigration issues.
And of course, what cracks me up, Bruce, is they say, well, this is targeted toward the Muslims. Well, if the country is 90% Muslim, yeah, I could probably, you might think that, but, it's still for what it is. You know, we can't vet these people. We don't know. And then we're not even talking about, Bruce, here the countries that are selling their visas, right? As a
That's
side
right.
business. Oh, Lord. There's no question. Bruce Thatcher is with us, author of Immigration, How to Avoid Its Perils and Make It Work. What a novel concept. I was thinking, you know, for all the problems that America is dealing with, you know, what would America be looking like today had Hillary Clinton been elected?
We wouldn't be having this discussion.
No.
I just think we dodged an enormous bullet.
Right. Yeah, without a doubt. I mean, the Clinton Foundation would be living. I mean, it would be thriving. It would be thriving. I mean, right now the doors are shuttered. It's dropping off operations. I mean, interesting, you know, consider the connection here. While she's in government, the Clinton Foundation thriving. She's out of government. It's not working. So what does that tell you right there in and of itself? This incredible, I mean, this thing that Barack Obama said was just such a benefit that they did such great work. If that was the case, why didn't it continue to work?
Well, even the analysis, you know, the official and semi-official analyses you get of foundations puts the lie to that statement.
Right. Well, Bruce, what are you making of this accusation that came out over last weekend? You know, Trump, in his typical hyperbole, lays out that Barack Obama had bugged, you know, Trump Tower.
Well, more than anything else, what I do is I wonder about it. I can't imagine that he would make that statement without having some evidence, some indication. I think that he tends to exaggerate things often to cause them to get brought more out into the limelight.
Well, he's still
and
the
I
headline.
Don't for a moment
yeah.
doubt that I don't for a moment doubt that that could have happened.
Well, you know, and it's so funny because now you get all the legal beagles out there, right? Well, you know, the president, you know, legally can't do, well, you know, of course we know the president legally can't do that. But, you know, just like he didn't tell the IRS, wink, wink, to go after these conservative organizations and make sure that they didn't get vetted properly. I mean, how many cycles did the IRS and Lois Lerner block, voting cycles did they block as a result of the shenanigans they pulled just on the Tea Party and any other conservative groups? Nobody talks about this. Go ahead.
Yeah, nobody talks about it because the people who do most of the talking, at least publicly, the press and so forth, do not object to those things as they were applied to non-progressives.
Yes. Well, it's the world we live in right now. It's no wonder that people are frustrated. And those conservatives and constitutionalists who were celebrating the election of Donald Trump need to understand the job's not over. I mean, this is just the beginning, isn't it?
It is just the beginning. If we want to save this country, it is just the beginning because we still see, and it's been in the news even yesterday and the day before, and it will be in the news tomorrow and the next day, about various groups engaging in self-interest activities that are specifically denying our basic constitutional rights, especially free speech, to anybody who doesn't happen to agree with them.
Exactly.
And we see institutions, colleges and universities in particular, supporting this kind of behavior, and this is absolutely, absolutely dangerous, truly dangerous to the survival of this country.
Like, these institutions have all the goods, Bruce. They have it all. They don't need any outside input. I mean, here they are. They reject a guy like Charles Murray, who is absolutely brilliant. You imagine how many nuggets of life experience he has in his back pocket that he's lost along the way, that these kids will never learn. And they ignored. They shouted down the opportunity to get a perspective. I mean, the asset that they had there in their midst and kicked him out the door to their great loss.
They have no understanding of the purpose of even why they are in school, and what's even worse is the institution itself apparently, of course, it wasn't as bad on the part of the institution there as it might have been at other places, but the institutions often prove that they don't have any understanding of why they exist either. They're supposed to teach, they're supposed to present diversity of views and diversity of things so that students will learn to think and make their own judgments, and instead they don't. They just pander to the crowd.
And Bruce, you bring up an excellent point here, and I hope people are really catching this, because this has been what I've seen over and over again. There is loss of mission, loss of sense of mission, abounding, whether it's at the institutions, in government. I mean, Obamacare, the reason Obamacare is dying, and for all intent and purposes, I mean, it's on life support right now. It just needs to, you need to unplug it and let it go by its wayside. But the reason it did is because it had a flawed mission. You know, they tried to keep it close. You know, Jonathan, what was Jonathan's last name, who was the professor that was one of the architects, Gruber. Jonathan Gruber. I mean, this was all, the final turn for them and their mission was single payer. It wasn't going to happen. They just figured, look, if they made it bad enough, You know, because this is what Democrats do, this is what progressives do, is they get a foothold in and they make it bad enough, and then you just kind of surrender. You're just so worn out, you throw the white flag up of surrender and you let them have your way, you know, their way, and their way means less your way, which means less liberty and less constitutional rights, doesn't it?
I think it does. That you bring it up in that case, and that mission was single payer, and I'd even take it farther than that. That mission was solidified governmental control over the lives of the citizens, of the people.
Yeah, let's look at what President Obama and Hillary Clinton did with the coal, you know, Harry Reid with the coal industry. What was their mission? Their mission wasn't freedom. It wasn't for, you know, the coal miners. It wasn't for the laborers, the families out there that lived off of coal, that had good jobs out there. All he wanted to do is my heart broke for these guys because I know where they come from. We just want to work. We just want our jobs.
Yeah.
We don't want no $1 billion, you know, $20-$40 billion retraining. We want to do what we know.
And Harry Reid just is an example of what makes it so obvious and open when he stands there and when asked concerning Mitt Romney, did he lie? And he says, well, we won the election, didn't we?
Right.
I mean, their interest is not the American people. Their interest
exactly.
is all self-interest in their own perspective. And I'm hoping to make some of that a lot more clear in my new book as we could get it published.
Well, you know, maybe Obamacare is just the beginning of the repealing of the progressives' agenda. You know,
I hope so.
Maybe so. You know, just as we're talking, Bruce, and I'm like you, I'm hopeful to this end. But the people need to make sure that they're activated activists in their government. You know, the government lost its way because, again, the DNA, the foundational moorings of this country is based on we the people. If we don't do our job, they're not going to do their job.
It is on the people, and we as the people have to understand that this is not a quick fix situation.
No.
This is not by next year it'll all be taken care of. This is long term. This is really right. long term.
And the thing is that comes against us is a culture that says, you know, we have a right to this, that, you know, we don't want to put in the hard work. And, you know, the founding fathers put in the hard work. They put in their lives, their blood, their sweat, their tears, their frustration, everything. They laid it on the line. Over the ages, we've had citizens and patriots of this country put it all on the line. And here it is. You know, we're being asked to, put it on the line once again. I mean, this is an opportunity for a new American revolution, a revolution that will get this country back on track. But that's what it's going to be, Bruce. It's not going to be some easy little quick fix that you can look to Donald Trump or somebody else who's even more charming to come along the way and fix the problem, because we are the problem, aren't we?
We are the problem, and we've got to keep to fix it. We've got to keep our eye on a long-term solution and recognize that all of these particulars that we see with Donald Trump and the current political situation and the advances we make.
Well, Bruce, we've got to leave it there. We're out of time. Bruce Thatcher on Bill Martinez Live. Thank you, Bruce. Appreciate it.